All right, so okay. In the Torah portions this week of Acharei Mos and Kedoshim, there's many different themes. I mean, Acharei Mos, if you have to ask for a summary, I mean, basically it starts with the Yom Kippur service. That's a focus. It also relates to the Arayot, the different illicit relationships. And then you have Kedoshim, which is filled with many, many different laws, particularly the mitzvot bein Adam l'chaveiro, between man and man. Ironically, even though the name of the Torah portion is called Kedoshim, which is a mandate, be holy, which we think about being focused on developing our relationship between man and God, Kedoshim focuses more on the idea that holiness is not only bein Adam l'makom, between man and God, but also between man and man. I don't want to talk about any of that. I want to talk about something else related to this, which I thought about from two comments made by the Ishbitzer in his Sefer Me'ah Shiloach. That relates to what to me seems to be just a very odd idea in the Parsha. When I first mentioned to somebody, I was saying, the name of this Torah portion is called Acharei Mos. They said, okay, what's that? I said, well, it's about the death of Nadav and Abihu. Well, they said, well, didn't that happen a few weeks ago?
That's the first thing I thought of.
So, like, why in the world do we mention that death here again, even though, again, we read about it 2 weeks ago? And it seems, even in the context of the Parsha, almost like an afterthought. I mean, it says at the very beginning, Hashem speaks to Moshe, Acharei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they came close to God and they died. And then it tells us the mitzvah of Yom Kippur. Now, on one level, you can answer simply, and you could say, well, they came in at the wrong time.
To the Kodesh
HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, right? And therefore, now it's saying, okay, well, these are the guidelines for going into the Holy of Holies. That's good. I'll accept that shot. But I said, it's got to be a little bit deeper. You know, because again, it just seems like that it's so pronounced. Acharei Mot. Like, it's literally kind of put up there, like in bold headlights. That there's, it's not just almost a reminder of what happened, but it seems like there's something a little more fundamental here that we're trying to kind of glean. Any thoughts, by the way, before I share with you an idea from the Ishbitzer, which kind of connects this week's Parsha to the Parsha of Kedoshim as well, and connects to a lot of life, and I think you're going to relate to this.
Well, I mean, what Nadav and Avihu did is not between man and man, it's between man and God.
Correct.
But Kedoshim is between man and man.
Well, Kedoshim actually is kind of both, really, yeah.
Right. I mean, I think they're very interrelated. What we do between man and man is meant to be, we're meant to have our personal relationships be holy. And to, you know, watch every word we say, which is something we just covered in Tazria Mitzorah. Something with fire.
I always like fire. That's not where I was going, but we could take that. That's fine.
Fire and Yom Kippur and personal spark and I don't know.
Okay. No, these are different ideas. There are, as they say, many faces to the Torah, so it's fine. Ishbitzer makes the following point. He says, and I'll read it and then I'll just translate and we'll kind of go from there. It says, Acharei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron, speak to Aaron himself and tell him, V'al Yavo B'chol Eis El HaKodesh. Let's focus on those words. Do not go in B'chol Eis at any time into the Holy of Holies. So the Ishbitzer explains, he says, B'chol Eis, K'mo B'chol Avas Nafshecha, means with all kind of the desires of your nefesh, of your soul, of your heart. Hainu Acha Shereita, after we saw ki chol kedushas Nadav Avihu lo hitzilam migoven chait bekarvasam lifnei Hashem, that despite all the holiness of Nadav and Avihu, it still did not save them from the fact that they violated the chait, the sin, when they went in at the wrong time. Ki haya ba'om kam tagborit ava yoter meyira, because for them their love of God superseded their restraint and their fear of God. Lezot he's here, Oto. Therefore, we are warned. Sha'al yidme benafsho shebekocho yuchal yishamer mizeh v'yishmor et atzmo yoter mehem. Therefore, do not think that even if you are passionate in your observance, and you have this great love, that you are going to have the same, or excuse me, more restraint than them. You need to be careful. Rak she'elo tamid mechush b'zeh. You always have to be concerned lest you fall into the trap of none of an avihu. Rak she'elo tamid mechush b'zeh v'yeda she'tzarech tamid tziyat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You always need to be kind of guided by God in your practice. And therefore, he says, ki b'zot yavo aron, that when you go in, Aaron, into the Holy of Holies, ba'otan inyan atzmo shiba nadav avihu kibo b'kedusha v'tahara, they went in with the greatest of intentions of holiness, raka etza b'par b'makar l'chatat, but make sure that it's bounded, it's bordered, it's circumscribed by kind of the sense of what is actually what God wants you to do. We talked about this a little bit, as opposed to kind of what you feel is the best way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But how do you know?
Well, you know because the Torah gives you guidelines. And to me, I want to expand this a little bit, and then it really relates to Kadosh, and we could talk about this. The whole concept of the book of Vayikra is all about identifying kind of the right way to serve God. It's all about service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of God. And it's very important in our service of God, and also, for that matter, in our service of other people, that we carefully kind of navigate our desire for expressing our, it's again, the balance, I think, of chesed and gevura here, of expressing my love, my emotions, my kindness, my passion, yet make sure that it does not come at the price of MS, of what is right, of what is the principal thing to do. And sometimes I can think that I'm doing the right thing because, you know, whether it's vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vis-a-vis God, well, I'm doing it with all my heart, I'm doing it with all my soul, I'm doing it with the best of intentions. Yet at the same time, God is saying, wait a second, if it's not based upon the MS, what is principled, that's not really what I'm looking for. And certainly also in terms of our relationships too, sometimes we believe that the greatest calling is peace. If somebody wants me to do something for them, if somebody wants my, or I'm looking, for example, for somebody's approval, I'll do something because I think it's going to make peace. It's going to make that person feel good. But in the short term, that may be true. But in the long term, maybe I missed an opportunity for a little more gevura, a little bit more restraint, and right now it may be peaceful, but it may end up causing conflict and greater problems later on because I didn't balance that with actually the MS piece. And in my mind, that's why Achrei Mos is like so out there, because our service of God, our service of man, always has to be with an awareness, Achrei Mos. You can have the holiest person and the best of intentions, and you can want to be lifnai vilifnim. You want to be inside the sanctuary. But you have to understand that it is or needs to be circumscribed by a sense that it's not b'chol eis. It's not any time, every time when you want. You have to kind of be able to kind of balance those two pieces very carefully. And I see that a lot, like you, I mean, we all see it. That's why I thought you'd get into this. I mean, in terms of, and I'll give you another insight that he explains with the notion of kedoshim. Certainly you see it in parenting all the time. You know, it's that struggle to, you know, you want to be loved and you want to be liked. Every parent does. At the same time, you need to know, like, where to draw the line and what really is in the best interest of the long-term health of the child. It happens in Jewish organizational life all the time when it comes to issues of leadership. So we make decisions based upon, you know, the short-term peace that something may achieve, or do we make a more principled decision, even though it might not be so popular? It happens certainly in terms of what's happening in Israel when you deal with issues of negotiation. You know, is it peace at what price? You know, or is it something that's more principled? So it's something really that comes here a lot, and he actually makes a beautiful point. Let me go to a part in Kedoshim, and we'll just chat about it for a moment. He says that the notion of Kedoshim fits this very perfectly. Look at Kedoshim for a second. At the beginning of chapter, page 656. So it says here, Kadoshim to you, right? You should be holy. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Mikadishchem. Ani Hashem Elokecha, right? Be holy because Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokecha, because God says, I am holy. So what's the kind of, you know, corollary here? We sometimes focus on be holy, but the notion of being holy is rooted in the notion of God's holiness. So what's kind of the parallel here? It could just say be holy, but it says be holy. Why? It's like conditional almost. Be holy, but be holy ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. Because I am holy. So what does that mean there? What's the parallel? What?
Define.
We did that actually in Tuesday's class, and you were there. What? How are you talking like this right now?
But in Tuesday's class, we talked about the muhashi,
the physical,
and it made sense.
Here. Thanks. Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
Here, he says, "I am holy, therefore you have." But define holy. What is it?
Right, so you're correct. Different interpretations of what it means. We talked about it. Rashi says, for example, Kedoshim to you actually means a sense of Prushim to you. Literally means separate from Arayot. That's an idea of illicit relationships. Sur Meira, avoid what is wrong. That's what it means. It's kind of an overarching principle to make sure that you really stay away from those things that are transgressions, that are bad for you. Ramban Nachmanides takes a more positive approach. He says, Kedoshim to you means Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutar Lach. Sanctify yourself, which is permitted to you. I mean, there's a lot that's not legislated in Judaism, and make sure that you infuse even those things which are permitted to you with a sense of Kedusha, a sense of higher purpose, a sense of awareness. In the context of what we're talking about today, I think it's another dimension. And the Ishbosheth says that kind of similar idea here. He says, Kedoshim to you, Hanu Shashem Yitbarach Mazhir L'Bnei Yisrael Shutamid Mukdashim Umizumanim, that you should all be kind of the Jewish people sanctified and ready. V'yitzbu tamid L'Yeshua Hashem Shiyoshia Lahem V'yera Einechem B'divrei Torah, that you should always anticipate that God will Yoshia, God will save you, that God will be there for you. Ki Kadosh Ani, what does that mean? Hainu Shashem Yitbarach Omer Kihu Yitbarach Mizuman Tamid Loshir LeYisrael Va'ayidezeh Gam Yisrael Tzrichin Liyot Mizumanim Letzapot Tamid LaHashem Shlo Yatridu Et Atzim Be'Iskei Olam Hazeh. I'm going to tell you what he says, but I'm going to give you at least my interpretation of what I think he says. What he's saying, literally, here is, he says, Kedoshim is a language of Hazmana. As a Jew, you should be ready always for God's Yeshua, God's salvation, that God will always be ready to help you. Why? Ki kadosh ani. Be ready for God because God is always ready for you. And God is always going to be there for you, therefore you should be ready for God. What I think that he's saying here, and then he kind of quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Chesed ve'emes al yazvucha. This is kind of what gave it away for me. It says in Proverbs, Chesed ve'emes, truth and kindness do not leave. What is the Ishbitzer quoting that pasuk for? So I think what he's saying is that when a person goes back to our point, is really finding themselves in a moral bind. What is my guiding principle? Is my guiding principle the Hamon Am? Is my guiding principle what people are going to say to me, the approbation that I'm going to get for what I'm going to do? Or is my guiding principle simply, it's my desire that I want to do this, it makes me feel good? Or is my guiding principle that I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who really is going to be there for me, and that if I stand up for God at this point in time, or I stand up for what's right at this point in time, or for my principles, here's what he's saying. You should be kadosh, be holy. Sometimes you have to separate yourself. Sometimes you have to stand up for what those values are, and know that God will be there for you if you are actually kind of, you know, expressing what is kind of the MS, the right thing here to do. Don't, and what he's saying is here, as he says, lo yatridu et atzman b'iskei l'mazeh, don't be troubled by the matters of this world, by kind of the immediate satisfaction you may get by making the easier decision, the one that feels good. Understand that God is going to reward you for what you're doing, and that you should be accountable to a higher authority, not just kind of what your environment is around you. So that's, I think, something that connects the two parshiyot. What are you thinking? Go ahead.
Here is what I wonder. Why did this two sons of Aaron have to die? Is it because of Aaron's hate on Egel HaZahav? Or is it because they did something wrong? What did they do wrong? They felt too much. So I have a problem.
I mean, it seems that the answer is the latter. I mean, it says if you look in the Psukim 2 weeks ago in the Parsha, that they died because of their sin. They didn't die because of Aaron's sin. It's because of their violation of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. And we talked about this a little bit also 2 weeks ago. It was an Esh Zara. It was a fire. It was passionate. It was good. But it was Zara. It was outside the bounds of what they were supposed to do.
How would they know?
Because they were told, apparently, again, it doesn't say it explicitly, but apparently they weren't supposed to do this on their own. I mean, it's not... It's only, by the way, at least I think, post facto, that this mitzvah is articulated clearly, that you're only supposed to come in on Yom Kippur. But apparently, you know, God certainly, even before this time, had given them, it was instructions, you know, Aaron, as to what his relationship should be. And here, they acted really more on their own volition and their own passion, as opposed to based upon what God wanted them to do. That's food for thought. I mean, you know, I was pondering this a little bit. Sandy, any thoughts?
Well, a lot of thoughts.
I know you do. Go ahead. Let her rip.
First of all, I keep thinking of abuse. Mm-hmm. Because abuse really is a violation of boundaries in many ways. It's sometimes people who are abusive come across as kind and... they often are persistent. Like they'll be very persistent in how they approach you and how they want you in their lives. And they might start, you know, calling you a lot and giving you presents. But it's often a means of control, and it's too much. It goes over a boundary. So it's not out of, you know, that person may really care about you, but they care about you for the wrong reasons. And so it's like a skewed way of thinking, and people get fooled by that kind of behavior. And in any relationship, you need to really monitor your boundaries. And when people step over boundaries, you have to be able to let them know. And so many situations came up this week in regard to that. And I helped my daughter come up with a way of telling somebody she was babysitting for who kept canceling on her the last minute, not confirming, not even being there when she was supposed to, you know, come and babysit. And the woman is a victim-y type and would say, oh, do you hate me? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and so my daughter here, she's 21 years old. She's trying to really make sense of things. And the one thing, she came home crying the other day from this babysitting job, and the woman wasn't there. And she said, Mom, I feel like I'm not being true to myself if I don't stand up for what I really believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the essence. If you really are in touch with your own truth, then... you need to be able to learn to start expressing it and let people know when they've violated a boundary, when they have stepped on your principles. Because ultimately, she could have just gotten out of the job by saying, I'm too busy with school. But if she actually speaks her truth and lets the person know that they're stepping on a boundary and that she can't do business this way, she's really stepping up to the plate and doing the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's the training for me that I want to train my children. It's much easier to just say, oh, forget it. Just, you know, don't return her calls. I mean, a lot of people take the
that's
cowardly
right. That's right.
Approach.
It's a path of least resistance.
So the other thing I thought of was for Yom Ha'atzmaut, SAR sent out a letter the day before. The principal wrote a letter to all the students, and then he copied the parents. And he wrote to the kids, I'm copying your parents on this letter. Tomorrow we're having a very, you know, a fun day. We're going to be in the park, and we're going to do all these things that are not school-related, but, you know, have to do it with Medinat Yisrael. And I know that the seniors are already, like, wanting to go home, you know, they're finished already with school in their heads, and they may not want to come in. And I know that you're all studying for midterms, and you may want to take the day off. And the way he said it about our responsibility towards standing up for Medinat Yisrael, what a privilege it is to have this land, and what an honor it is to have all of you come and celebrate, instead of how some other schools that we've been in have said, you know, if you take off tomorrow, we will, you know, take off a grade and we will, you know, you'll be, you know, on detention. And,
right.
And that threat, instead of pulling up the neshama of a person.
Yeah.
And to me, that was just so beautifully said. It was like calling on the
higher angel.
On the higher, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, in every interaction we have the ability to rise up to Kedusha, you know, and we're much more apt to respond to Kedusha than to, you know, somebody yelling or putting us down or not telling the truth.
Mm.
So it really struck me as, you know, wow, this is why I send my kid to this school.
Yeah, I think what you're adding is in kind of another dimension here, because the truth is, if you have a conversation with somebody, we kind of all know to a degree that there are going to be these principles you need to stand up for, but then the question is, how do you motivate people to do that? So you motivate people not just by, okay, setting the borders, but by actually inspiring them to stand up for what's right.
Yeah, which,
and that's a better way.
Which to me is what Hashem is saying here. I'm modeling Kedusha so that you will be Kadosh.
Yeah.
And also in the language of Hashem Elokechem, you know, to me those are the two sides of Hashem, the you know, Chesed and Gevurah, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you actually, it's a great point. Ani, ooh, I love that. I didn't actually think about that. Not I actually, I mean, not like I think about it at all, but, right, Ki Kadosh, Ani, Hashem Elokechem, right? It is I, Hashem, Elokechem, right? Hashem is Midat HaRachamim, and Elokechem is Midat HaDin, attribute of kindness and justice.
I'm still not
you're not feeling the love.
What's it?
Yeah.
Because you should have been here 2 weeks ago.
Death is a very drastic thing. And
yes.
To be punished by death, because you want too much.
So, maybe I'll give you a little bit of the following.
And, yeah. You know, I don't feel that Hashem demands it for us.
Demands what?
This strict going in the boundaries. He wants, he has Midat HaRachamim.
Right, it's a balance.
He has Midat HaChesed.
Yeah, look, God has the capacity of forgiveness all the time. You know, there are plenty of things we don't do that are right, and God's not, like, you know, striking us down, you know, and punishing us right away. And he's looking for us like a parent to a child to return, to come back. But we need I want to answer your question, but you have another point? Go ahead.
David HaMelech was pardoned making bigoted transgression against humanity and against...
What were you referring to?
Bathsheba.
Yeah, but he was punished severely for that. People,
yeah.
He didn't get off scot-free by any means.
But not by death.
But not by death.
Okay, you have to ask yourself also. I mean, each case is different. I mean, he had the child of that union died. He was sick for almost 10 years in bed. His children rebelled against him. Another one was killed. I mean, a whole litany of problems. He suffered. I think what's happening here, though, and this also, is this is really the beginning of the terms of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. It's like, for example, when a baby is in utero. You know, I can be, for example, you know, 30-some-odd years old and, you know, trip somebody or something like that, or the person trips and, you know, they get a bruise, it's okay, they move on. But take a fetus, and one little shift in the fetus can have ramifications that actually, you know, can be life-threatening and can really alter the life forever because the fetus is so fragile. This is literally the forming of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. This is the Lifnai V'Lifnim, the Holy of Holies. And the terms of that relationship are sacred, sacrosanct, and have to be really upheld in a way that ensures at the outset here, there is absolutely no breach whatsoever. And if there's a breach that takes place right when these laws are being given, and really what Nadav and Avihu are saying is, we basically know the best way to serve you. not you, God. It's going to be on our terms, not your terms. God says, well, then there's no relationship here. They don't understand what the terms are. And that's why I think it was so severe. That's why the sin of the Egel HaZahav was also so severe. Because again, it was self-serving, not God-serving.
Not all of Israel was...
Because not all of Israel participated in the sin. Those that did, it was 3,000 plus people. But then the issue there was that there were a lot of people that stood by and watched and didn't do anything either. That's why God actually said, it's not even enough that you didn't do it, but the fact that you tolerated this in your midst is something that is intolerable.
Even if you're Switzerland.
Exactly.
But this was a real, real regression, the Egel HaZahav, when they participated or watched.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on how you understand it. Because some people say it wasn't really idol worship. And, I mean, they're all interpretive. But I think that the Kodesh HaKadosh, these people were the holiest people. They had the most responsibility.
Correct. They were the models.
Right. And I think, you know, in terms of what you were saying before about the fetus, I think that if you relate it to parents as well, we're laying foundation for our children.
Yep.
The most important times are the foundation laying. You know, what a child decides to do as they get older, they're with you less, and they're drawing from that foundation, hopefully. Even if they stray, if you've laid a strict foundation for them, they're more likely to come back at some point because they have a pull. I was talking to a client the other day who grew up religious and strayed from it and is now thinking of coming back in some ways. And she said, I never strayed so far away. There's still something in my heart that pulls me to it. And I think that, you know, for my children, I have a lot of trust that whatever they decide to explore, if I've laid a strong enough foundation, they are going to have something in their heart that's going to pull them back. And we can't control all of that. And I think Hashem is saying something similar here where, you know, I'm going to lay this really strong foundation here. And then, you know, what happens generations from now is probably going to be a watered-down version of what's happening here. People are not going to be punished in the same way for, you know, we're not going to die because we went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim at the wrong time, necessarily. But on Yom Kippur, we do. We will die. I mean, that's laid out.
Right, right.
But you relate the personal development to the development of the humanity as they grow in the fetus, out of the fetus. Mm-hmm. But this here is two people who innocently or...
No, it's not. That's the point. These people have a high degree of responsibility as children of our own, a high degree of really awareness of their role. And you're 100% correct. It says, actually, that people are judged based upon kind of their spiritual standing. And you find many times that people are judged very harshly, particularly ones that have high spiritual standing, because God expects more of them than of other people. I have to wrap this up because I got to go actually to a meeting
Isn't
in a minute.
Something that we object as Jews, that Jews have to be held to a higher moral standing?
That's part of our calling. I mean, look. We are held to a higher standard because we have a special mission. We're an Orla Goyim.
Orla Goyim, but we object to that.
We shouldn't. We should be proud of it, and we should try to live up to it, as opposed to, you know, say we are different. We're not necessarily better. We have a different role. And that's what it means.
Okay.
So anyway, more food for thought. Achrei Mot, the boundaries, the restraint, and then hopefully we can chart a path of Kedusha in a way that is rooted in MS. Have a good Shabbos.